for the start, I'd like to start, of course, with the actual selection for this exhibition. So,
just my selection.
Selection. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it seems that you made a little overview of your work for this exhibition.
Yeah.
I think there are three series actually presented.
Yeah.
How did you decide? How did you manage to put together those series that are actually quite different in the initial concept?
I think they're similar in the sense that if you whittled it down, it's basically dealing with the same thing, whether that's me, where I've come from, and my history. To whittle it down for the show, I suppose it was quite easy because it was for the selection for this show, there was 8 years worth of work, and it had to be selected, and a lot of it was, I like that image, so let's put that forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a very great believer in images. They need to be beautiful. They need to be. You need to look at them and you need to like them. It needs to be a good image. So there's always, you know, your favourites and Jules, who's the curator at Bankside. She also went through the images with me. And then what you do then is that you start to find patterns, you start to find, you know, things that link and things that go from what, you know, that link from one series to the other. Because the series I Was Born an English Catholic is basically basically got three or four series within it. So it's about being I Was Born an English Catholic, and that statement is about if you're an English Catholic in England, what you're saying is you come from Ireland, you're from Irish descent. So within that, I did the series where my grandfather drank and where he sang, my nan's house. There's the Cardinal Newman work, which is the church that I was baptized in, the Holy Communion, confirmation. Friends were buried there. My mum and dad were married there. My granddad was buried there. And then just a series called Too Many Saviors for My Cross, which is just about my relationship with religion.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other series that I did, you know, many years later, called Lady Woodfenian, which again was about Birmingham, second generation, but it was more about taking a journey back and going to where I used to live. And which was a housing estate in Birmingham, and going to walk in the streets and walk in the journeys. So, you know, within photography, there's the tradition of that photographic journey. So, like William Eggleston would do in America around the South, or Stephen Shaw would do across. I basically just made that smaller and went to where I grew up and where I went to school. And while walking around, took pictures, and I wasn't trying to show anything specific about my life. I wasn't trying to say this is where I lived and this is, you know, where I went to school, but it was about making those journeys within those environments and just coming across images. So in a way, it's like I gave the 15-year-old me a camera and just walked around where I lived. So one is dealing with the same subject matter, but in a different way. And a lot of the, when I work, it's very, they're not very long projects. If I go to a place, it's, I'll only go once, maybe twice, but it's very rare that I go anywhere twice, and I'll shoot for 3 to 4 hours. That's it. So they're quite small projects, and so they can interlink.
Mm-hmm.
They can, you know, they do merge. So when you bring them all together, when you make that selection, it's, you know, they do, there's some sort of connection.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's from pictures I took in 2002 or pictures I took, you know, 2008.
So maybe this is important. So what is your process of work, actually? So probably you don't do for instance, one series and finish it till the end and then go to the next one. It seems that you do many things at the same time,
yeah,
different cycles, different series.
Yeah, I think it's quite, I don't plan ahead. I have an idea, and with the Lady Ruthenium ones, it was about just going back to where I lived, walk around and shoot. Because I do that anyway. When I done, in 2002, when I started that, I was born an English Catholic. It was about going to my nan's house. It was about going to the church. It was about going to where my grandfather drank. It was about going to these places. And even though I would only go there for one visit and a few hours, and it's about, it's that surprise as well. It's not, you know, it's not, it's film, it's not digital. So it's that surprise about getting what you get and working with what you get. Mm-hmm. I don't go, okay, I've got 5 images, I want to go back and get another 5. I live with what I've got. So that was about, very specifically about being there. While I was doing that as well, I would just walk around where I lived, or when I went to back home, or when I went to Leeds to see my girlfriend then, I would just take pictures, because that's what photographers do. That's what William Eggleston did. William Eggleston didn't go out to document something, he walked around and he photographed. And then I always seem to be working in working on 2 projects at the same time. And then sometimes within a project, I could be working on 3 separate projects, but within, under one umbrella. So then with Lady Ruthenium, I did that. And so going back to where I lived was almost like combining the two. So there's images in Lady Ruthenium that are very specifically, this is, there's a picture that's in the exhibition of a hula hoop, a green hula hoop that was on the outside of the fence where I went to school. Now that hula hoop was probably one of the same hula hoops I played with as a kid, because I know that they've got all the same stuff in there, all the same benches, all the same drawers, it's that, you know, they haven't changed it. But then on the same day, I shot a picture, which is also in the exhibition here, of a gun that was in the grass. That has nothing to do with me growing up. It was just there, but it was where I used to live. It was on that journey. Mm-hmm. While I was working on Lady Ruthenium, I was also working on a series, and none of them are in this exhibition, called On Any Given Day. And it was about, it was about just walking around and finding these things that on any given day you can find the beautiful images, you can find something that can communicate. And they kind of, there's stuff in, there's images in On Any Given Day that I could easily pick up and put into Lady Ruthenium.
Yeah.
For instance, there's a picture I took on the bus, and it was the bus that I used to go to school on, and there's a sticker that you get on, you know, when you buy something, it tells you how much the price is, and it's on the window of a bus, and there's steam, there's water, condensation coming down the, and it's a beautiful image, and it was in the original exhibition at Bankside. That could easily go into Lady Ruthenium, mm-hmm. but it wasn't shot on the day that I was shooting that stuff. And the stuff in Lady Ruthenium that could easily go into On Any Given Day, like the picture of the gun. But for some reason, it's instinct, it's what works, it's just that I just know that that's for that project, and that's for that project. And I don't give myself a time limit, it has a natural life. I know when it's coming to an end. And the Lady Ruthenium stuff, which is kind of, the Lady Ruthenium refers to my dad, who was Irish, died near the end of the Lady Ruthenium project, and then I think it's the last 7 images in that project are about him and about his death. So that's, you know, I just, that happened and it just went there, and I took 7 images and then I just knew it was over. There are things within that, you know, there's series within series, there's projects within projects.
But probably single image, particular image, is quite important for you then. Do you think you can tell the story also with a single image?
Yeah, I think...
not just with a series.
Yeah, I think you can, and I don't... When I work in a series like Lady Ruthenium, there's no real narrative there, and I don't put that much text with the work. if someone wants to talk to me about it, like you are now, I'll happily talk. But so yeah, so that it is also about the single image. It is also about I'm a photographer and I want to make a picture. And I just use my background, I use my life, I use where I came from to help me do that. So the picture that's in the exhibition, that's on the literature, the one where my grandfather drank.
Mm-hmm.
I think that sums it up. I think that does, and that was one of the first pictures that I took that kind of that embodies the way I work now. That I went to this working men's club in Birmingham that I, you know, as a child I went to, and it's very rich, and the colours are very rich, and it's of a very certain period, and I could have gone there and taken 35 beautiful images, but I didn't want to document it. I wanted to go and show where my grandfather drank.
So you wanted to show empty spaces like they are now?
Yeah,
on the
just
photos.
And they're empty because he was dead. So, you know, I'm not gonna, so it's like my grandfather drank at these three bars within in the club and sang on these two stages. And that said it all. It didn't have to be 35 images. And I think if you look at the one, you get that feeling, and you know, whether you know the story about it or whether you don't know the story about it, you know, you're given a bit of a clue with the titles, but I think you get that feeling about it. I think especially that one image, if you look at it, it's, you know, it all, for me, it almost says in that one image what I probably at one time would have tried to do with 35 images. And I don't want to continue making. I want, you know, recently on a new series of work that I'm doing, I went to another club that I used to go to as a kid. And I just spent a few hours there. And it's the last time I was there was at a friend's funeral, my best friend growing up. And so that was the reason to go back there. It wasn't to make more beautiful images in a working men's club. Mm-hmm. It was just about that. And I'm not trying to tell the story of my relationship with my friend. I'm not trying to tell the story about his death. It's just this place, this interesting place, and it's an interesting place where I can make beautiful images, I hope. Because I think with my work, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but they are very singular. You know, it's not like I'm a documentary photographer. But it's growing up looking at, you know, William Eggleston. You know, I think he's to blame for it. And I came to William Eggleston later on in life. My greatest photographic hero was Gary Winogrand. But then, you know, if you look at Eggleston, his work's about, it's almost about nothing but everything, and I like that. Or someone like Paul Graham, mm-hmm. who just completely reinvents himself and completely reinvents the language. So I think I do what I do, and I do it the way I do it, completely and utterly for myself. I work commercially to earn a living. Mm-hmm. I finance myself this work. I do it to because I want to show it, because it's good, you know, I like it, it's nice, it's not.
So you don't have pressure, would say pressure of an art market
not at all. I mean, it's nice that you know, since being at Bankside, that I've had this exhibition, I've got another exhibition in England at the moment, and I'm going to be in Paris in November, and they've asked, the Thames and Hudson are doing a book about collecting contemporary photography, and they've asked me to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant, and you know, it's great because it will take me further. But yeah, you know, I've taken pictures for the last 8 years, not earning any money, and you know, having to watch how much film I take because I can't afford it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just about me. I just like doing it. And
I think, like, I was born English Catholic.
Yeah.
Has some narration which is more obvious.
Yeah.
It refers to your memory.
Yeah.
Your memory of the childhood.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, do you think you're nostalgic? So, what this memory means to you, actually? Why do you want to reenact it in these photos in some way?
Because I miss where I grew up. I miss that time, and it was, you know, when I lived on the housing estate, and it was, you know, in a very poor part of Birmingham, You know, we had no money whatsoever, but my friends were there, and I missed that time. I missed the '70s. You know, mm-hmm. I missed, not in a kind of you know, disco sort of way, but just I just missed that time. It seemed quite simpler there. The politics in England were quite were very black and white. You knew where you were, you know. So I missed that time. I missed my nan's house, and I'm glad that I took the pictures, and I'm glad that, you know, they got published in a magazine before she died, and she saw that. You know, I'm glad that they're there. I'm glad that I've got a record of that. So I think I am nostalgic. Maybe not in a healthy way sometimes, but also the best piece of advice, which was from a friend, Paul Quinn, was to basically photograph what you know, mm-hmm. and that's what I do. And you know, a lot of people have said it. I don't, you know, Paul Graham says it's everything and everywhere. It's outside your door. So it's nostalgic in the sense that I do miss it, but it's also, you know, that's just the kind of a byproduct of what I do, because of what I photograph, because it's what I know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do miss those times.
Yeah. So what about those situation? Your photos, motifs are usually empty. You took photos of empty bars, for instance, where your father, grandfather drank and sang.
Yeah.
How does this situation of empty space, without any figure, without any protagonists on it, refers to the memory? Because there is some psychological connections between that.
I think because my memory is made up of spaces, mm-hmm. and it's not made up of, other than like my you know, my family and my grandfather. But like I said, you know, at the time he was dead, so it's not like he could, and I wasn't taking photographs when he was alive. So, you know, I could have gone back and photographed that bar with the people still in it, but it wouldn't have been about where my grandfather drank. Mm-hmm. It would have been a picture, an almost documentary, you know, very kind of that 1980s British colour documentary kind of picture.
So it seems that you're somehow, from your intimate perspective, you're depicting also the broader social political situation. So being English Catholic means probably being Irish.
Yeah.
What does it mean in political sense, actually, now and in '70s?
In the '70s and '80s, it meant a lot more than it does now. I think the political situation, I mean, you know, the situation in Ireland has changed, you know, tremendously. Since the Good Friday Agreement, there's not bombs going off in London, there's not bombs going off in Birmingham now. So, and I think just generally the political situation in England is, I grew up when the miners were striking, you know, when Thatcher was destroying industries, the steel industry, the coal industry. You had the hunger strikers. You had bombs going off where you lived. So yeah, you had the Handsworth riots in Birmingham. You had the Brixton riots, and it was very clear, you know, that which side you was on. And growing up, you know, my dad was a Republican, so you know he supported Sinn Féin. He supported the you know, freedom in a united Ireland, and freedom for, well, not freedom for the young strikers, but for the young strikers to, you know, to get the what they were asking for. And, you know, that filters down, and it was a very, you know, it was a time when, I don't know, all I can say is it was a time when the lines were drawn. Mm-hmm. You knew where you were. You knew if you was working class, if you was black, if you was Irish, unemployed, working class, and then all of a sudden, now, these days, it's a very grey area. Tony Blair destroyed Labour. Blair, Brown, Cameron, Nick Clegg, Thatcher, they're all the same. It's all the same. And even now, you get people in, you know, London who are protesting because of the cuts, or the cuts in education, which is great. I think it's good. I applaud it. But you sometimes feel that it's just middle-class school kids and, you know, that are out on the streets, and the people that are at the blunt end, working class people, you know, I think there's still that sort of apathy. I think in the 80s, that apathy wasn't there. But I think Thatcher just beat it out of us, I think. So, it was a time, it was a very political time, I think it's a very critical time. I was 11 and I was aware of the Hunger Strikers. We were talking about the Hunger Strikes in the playground in my junior school. So I don't know how well informed we were. I don't know how much we were informed, but we had an opinion, and you know, sometimes it was voiced. And so I think it's changed drastically. So I think being brought up in that environment, whether it's the political environment of England within the 70s and 80s, or being brought up in the more intimate political environment of my father, or even being brought up in a religious environment, it dictates now what I shoot. And I think if I was 15 now, those things wouldn't. If I was 15 now and then 10 years later I started taking pictures, I don't think I would be taking pictures about when I was young. I don't think I would have an opinion on a political situation. I work in a very simple way, but I know the results I'm going to get. You know, I have a good camera. You know, my camera's good. I use nice film and I use natural light. So, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong, even if it's a political message or a message that I'm not trying to be political about, but obviously will have those connotations. I don't think there's anything wrong in it also being a beautiful image, because it's going on the wall. Someone's got to look at it. Someone's got to be seduced by it. Which is why I'm getting exhibitions, which is, you know, why you're interviewing me, which is why people are going to hopefully come tonight and like my work.
You said you're working with film, so in an analog way. Does it have a special meaning for you? For instance, in the connection with digital?
Yeah, no, it does. It does, in the sense that that's what I was taught. When I was taught it as a craft. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed printing. I enjoyed processing my film. I enjoyed printing colour. I enjoyed printing black and white. I felt like I was creating something, not just creating some, as in creating the object that it comes, you know, that, so that when you see that print come through, or when you see it come out of a machine, the handling of it, I like negatives. I thought about this recently and I got some negatives back, and I was even though I was scanning my neg, I thought I like this object. I like that it is an object. Mm-hmm. It's not a series of numbers, it's not a file that can be copied and copied and copied, and which is the original. I like that. And you know, the larger images here have been scanned, and although they're C-types, they're digital C-types, which, you know, I don't mind at all.